You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 30th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. As it's Truthful Out Radio, I am joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I hope the old listening world is as well as yourself.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. I think we've got a good episode planned for listeners today. They will remember that last week we mentioned two videos that were being used to try and discredit you, Dennis. So what we've done today,
many have tried.
Many have tried and many have fallen by the wayside. And I think Stosh, who is the person who's been making these videos, I think because they appear on his channel, I think we're going to do a good job of debunking him today. And we've got two videos to go through. The first one is called Nazism and Freemasonry, Hitler's Masons. And the second one is called Aryan Sun, Nazism and Freemasonry. And basically what his theory is that Adolf Hitler was working for the Freemasons and he wasn't really against the Freemasons at all. So we'll start with Nazism and Freemasonry, Hitler's Masons. And he basically says that Hitler called out the Freemasons in 1942 and he set Alfred Rosenberg in charge of investigating them. And he admits that 80,000 Freemasons were executed. And then he claims that Adolf Hitler was somehow working for the Freemasons, even though 80,000 were executed. Were 80,000 really executed? Do you know anything about Freemasons actually being executed, Dennis?
I have no of an official figure. All I know is, say, for instance, Franco in Spain, who this guy never even mentions, or Pavlovich, or Mussolini, by the way. It's just, this is just Hitler. He forgets about the rest of Christian Europe. But, I think Franco, if you were caught practicing Freemasonry, you got 10 years standard. But as far as any deaths, I'm not sure. You know, I mean, Jews will say it just to get the vote for being picked on.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, they may say 80,000 Freemasons were executed, but maybe what he's forgetting to say there is that they were also communists who were fighting against Germany and they were shot during the war. Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it? It's like when they claim all these Jews were killed in the camps or Jews were put in the camps, you know, what they were doing was putting enemies of the state in these camps. So it was communists,
which any country will do, you know, whether it be Britain or whoever. If you're the enemy of that particular ideology or government, you're going to end up in prison.
Well, they did, didn't they? I mean, in America, they put the Japanese in concentration camps.
Yep.
In Britain.
Mostly over here and all that.
Exactly. Over in Britain, we locked up the people that didn't want the war. Oswald Mosley.
Yeah, but it seems just the German crowd put people in prison.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, just a bit. Continuing on with this, he claims that the objectives of Freemasonry and the objectives of National Socialism are the same. And that is a really bold claim to make. And I would say there are some big differences, just starting with, the idea of Freemasonry as a brotherhood and they're all equal and it doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. You're all Freemasons. And that goes completely against, the idea of ethnicity being at the forefront. And countries and states and nation states should all be made up of the same ethnicity. And that's nationalism. And yet Freemasonry is internationalism, isn't it? They couldn't be more further apart, could they?
No, but what I've said this for many years now, this lockdown in Europe and information only coming out of Europe, what the media run by the Rothschilds wanted the world to know. This is why you get people like Mullins, great researchers, by the way, you know, Bill Cooper, and they're all comparing National Socialism as socialism compared to communism. And it was an easy propaganda method just to put, click the two together to fool a lot of people. And still a lot of people are fooled by this National Socialism. Was it complete opposite to Marxism? In the end of it all, it proved by the body count. So this guy's playing the same trick. He's giving it, you know, the same as Masonry is the same as National Socialism, just like communism is the same as National Socialism. BS.
Now he's made lots of tenuous links as well, and lots of giant leaps of faith and finding finding evidence where there really isn't any. Next up in the video, he has a picture of Alfred Rosenberg, and because Alfred Rosenberg finds it comfortable to rest his hand inside his jacket pocket, then he must be a Freemason.
Gosh. Yeah, exactly. I mean, in many cases, photos can be photoshopped anyway, but this, I think, was actual film. And Goering was the same. It was just, I mean, they haven't got pockets to put their hands in. So sometimes the most comfortable position is just to put your hand inside your coat. Now, there's a difference between doing that and Stalin having a statue made of him doing it, or front cover of a book. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's like these things are, you know, the flimsiest evidence. I mean, Goering wanted Freemasonry banned, like in 1933, did a speech alongside Hitler.
Well, it's like, you know, if they're making a deliberate thing of it. Like, as you say, if it's a statue, if it's a painting, something like that, it means that that's a deliberate pose that he's trying to convey something. But when it's just a photograph taken of them all sat around the table, then, you know, that really doesn't mean anything at all. And later on, he has a picture of wounded soldiers. I mean, one of them hasn't got a hand and he's got his arm in a sling and he's got his other arm. Just,
German soldiers were actually through Moscow. one arm in a sling.
Yeah, that's it. And according to him, that's Freemasonic symbolism. Well, no, it's not. It's a wounded soldier with his arm in a sling.
Well, another trick that he does right at the beginning of the video, because you gotta remember, you're talking to the video expert here, right? A clock with it straight away. He showed many figures of people with hands inside that hidden hand inside the jacket, but it didn't show the heads. Well, because I've studied Freemasonry pretty much recently, I can name you all them heads anyway. Pike was one of them, for instance. But what's that got to do with Hitler? All he was trying to do was trying to insinuate that these pictures of these people, where he cut them off the head, were Nazis. It's, you know,
pathetic. Wow, that's deliberate deception there, isn't it?
Pretending, yeah, it just shows one German, you know, like maybe Goering or whoever, I can't remember. But all the others were just Freemasons from another country.
He's being deliberately dishonest. You know, he shows you that he's not trying to get at the truth. He's just trying to put out some...
he's covering gatekeeping.
So, yeah, some counter-propaganda, isn't it? He's trying to counter-propagandise people to take them away from the truths that are exposed in... your documentary on
Hitler. It's an illusion, of two videos. It really is. I could destroy it in minutes.
Well, then he makes a really surprising connection, and he connects British Israel with the Thule Society and the Knights Templars. And I think,
Knights Templars, I can understand, but not Thule Society.
Well, I thought about this. I thought, there isn't actually any link between them. But all there is when we're going to talk about the Thule Society later on, but the Thule Society was interested in the origins of the Germans, and British Israel were interested in the origins of the British people. So maybe that's the only connection that there is, but there wasn't some Freemasonic connection between them. And this, you know, this shows that, you know, I mean, this to me is one of the proofs as to why Christian identity is correct, because we search for our origins, and we were searching for our origins, which is what the Thule Society were doing, which is what British Israel,
which the Jews were don't doing. Want us to do.
Yeah, they don't want us to do that. And, you know, it shows that there was a big migration into Europe from the Fertile Crescent, which is where all the civilizations were, because all those civilizations were white. That's where civilization started. And then once we had enough technical proficiency, we were able to move into the northern lands. But this shows that this is what the Germans were interested in. This is what the British were interested in. It seems to me that somehow we forgot our roots. We've forgotten our history.
Rewritten history.
Yeah, because it's all been rewritten. Then he claims that Madame Blavatsky invented the term Aryan, which is complete nonsense. And the term Aryan has been around.
I get so annoyed when I hear this.
Yeah, it's been around for centuries.
It's just recycled garbage. I mean, the proof that I give is the fact that Madame Blavatsky teachings and writings are all in a library around the corner from Buckingham Palace at the Lucis Trust. The Lucis Trust is a big player in the New World Order, has offices in the Communist United Nations in New York. Consequently, when you look at Adolf Hitler closing down Freemasonry, if anybody thinks the Lucis Trust would survive in Berlin under Adolf Hitler, I don't know what they're on. But this is what they're trying to keep pushing. It just doesn't work. His whole belief, his Christian belief and his battle with the Roman Catholic Church against Freemasonry is essentially a complete opposite other scale to Blavatsky. But I still get this woman thrown at me.
Yeah, he was against Blavatsky, but it's just this statement. I mean, he makes it in the second video as well. He makes a statement that Blavatsky came up with the idea of Aryan, and that's just not true. I mean, I've got a quote here from Wikipedia about it. Aryan is a term meaning noble, which was used as a self-designation by Indo-Iranian people. And Indo-Iranian people, that means white people that were in India and Iran over 2,000 years ago. The word was used by the Indic peoples of the Vedic period in India as an ethnic label for themselves and to refer to the noble class as well as the geographic region known as Aryavarta, where Indo-Aryan culture was based. The closely related Iranian people also used the term as an ethnic label for themselves in the Avesta scriptures, and the word forms the etymological source of the country name Iran. And also probably era, and it's probably the source root word of many of the words that we use. It was believed in the 19th century that Aryan was also a self-designation used by all Proto-Indo-Europeans, a theory that has now been abandoned. Scholars point out that even in ancient times, the idea of being an Aryan was religious, cultural, and linguistic, not racial. Now, that completely contradicts what it says there about people using it as an ethnic label for themselves. And religion, culture, and language are all expressions of race. So the term itself has been used for thousands of years, and it was used in the 19th century, again, rather than using the word white. It was before we started using the word white, because they realized that there wasn't just white people in Europe. There have been white people in India. There have been white people in Persia, white people in the Fertile Crescent, and they weren't European. So they needed a word to use that would link today's Europeans with the white people from before, because you couldn't say, oh, they were European, because they weren't. So Aryan is the term that they came up with. Blavatsky just used it later on to talk about the Aryan race and what she was taught by these demons that she was in contact with.
Exactly. Yeah, same Crowley crew.
Yeah, yeah. The Crowley went on after that with his what if, I think, seven masters or three masters that were instructing him.
But he also claimed to have met Adolf Hitler, or people claim that he met, which is bunkum. I think it was like a novel, Medusa's Head or something in the book, which that all that comes from. It was just a novel. Hitler would have thrown him in jail faster than you could have said, Heil Hitler.
Yeah, you're a complete degenerate, Crowley was. But also, when you look at Blavatsky, I mean, she's quite clearly some kind of mulatto. She's definitely not mixed race. She's not Aryan. She's not Aryan at all.
Can I just say, you just reminded me of a video I saw years ago, actually, when Germany was playing Iran, actually, in a football match in Iran, the capital. And it shows the crowd of the German national anthem. The crowd all give this Roman salute and absolute give that anthem, you know, the most respect I've ever seen. And consequently, we know Germany's occupied today, and Merkel, the leader, is, you know, communist, left wing, whatever, right? And she came out with a statement. She says, like, if there was a choice between having a war with Iran and Israel, it is our duty to back Israel, which goes against all traditions of Germany and Iran. It just, to me, stood out like a sore thumb.
Well, the problem with Iran is it was invaded by Muslims. The 7th or the 8th century, and all the Arabs interbred with them. And once again, it was the Jews that let the Arabs in to do that.
Yeah.
It always is. They're always the ones that open up the gates and bring the Arabs in and Muslimize the country. Well, next up in the video, he says, why did Hitler work with the Rothschilds to send the Jews to Israel? And Mr. Stosch is of the opinion that Hitler was the one that created Israel. He seems to completely ignore the Balfour Declaration, ignore the role that the United Kingdom played in that.
Exactly.
He just says, Hitler was working with the Rothschilds. He was the one that built Israel.
And the reason for that, I can tell you, I can nail it, because up to The Greatest Story Never Told, hardly anybody had heard of the transfer agreements. The book was brought out by Edwin Black in 1986, who was a Jew, and he revealed the cooperation between Germany and the Zionists, because the Zionists had Germany under this worldwide boycott, which Hitler and Goebbels were trying to get out of, but they couldn't get rid of the Jews anywhere because nobody wanted them, only the Zionists down in Palestine. So consequently, the only peaceful means for Hitler to get rid of an unwanted alien in his society was to do a deal with the Zionists, and at the same time, help the German people by getting the boycott stopped. That's it. But because it's come out after, in 1986, so many years after the war, when we've all been indoctrinated by all the Jews, any drop of blood of Jew was killed or kicked out with just his shirt on his back, has turned out to be absolute baloney, because they had all the wealth transferred and the Germans bent over backwards because they wanted to get rid of them so much. But they've got to think of a story, just like we talked the other week about a hospital in Auschwitz. You have to think of a story of why there's a hospital there, not to treat people. Oh, that's it. We'll do experiments there. It's the same baloney.
Yeah, I mean, Hitler said that if they were allowed to have their own sovereign nation, it would just become a base for criminal operations. And he was completely correct about that. But when Israel was set up, it was a crown dependency. It was under the rule of the British Empire. So Britain was responsible for it. It wasn't supposed to be a sovereign independent state. That came about after the war through terrorism. And Jews had terrorist gangs, the Stern Gang, the Ergen. And
the hotel, St. David, were excellent.
Yeah, thousands of British servicemen were killed by them. In fact, more British servicemen, I believe, were killed by Jews than in any other war ever since. There's a figure that's been recently produced on it. Yeah, they were, and the terrorists that were doing this were also then
future
made
prime
into prime ministers and presidents. Yeah, these people killed British servicemen, and there's no wreath laid for the British servicemen, and some of the ways they killed them were absolutely, absolutely horrific. But yeah, to think that Hitler was working with the Rothschilds to build Israel is just, as you say, it's baloney. The whole point was that they wanted to remove the Jews from Germany, and they wanted to do that as peacefully and as quickly as possible. And the Zionist Jews wanted Jews to be moving to Palestine, so of course they're going to work with them.
Yeah, you know, the other thing is that I forgot what I'm going to say now. It's gone. Carry on. Sorry, gone blank.
Okay. Well, then he claims that Hitler was working for the oligarchs. He was working for the oligarchs, and I don't know where he gets that from. Maybe he gets it from the industrialists, but of course he needed help from the industrialists. He needed funds. I mean, every political party needs funds. I mean, nationalism at the moment suffers greatly through a lack of funds. You know, you need money in order to print propaganda, reach the people.
Gets blocked.
Yeah, that's why they block our PayPal. So Hitler had to work with the industrialists, and the industrialists were obviously against communism because they didn't want you know, their factories to be taken. Yeah, and the land exactly, seizing. And they saw nationalism as the lesser of two evils, and so they funded Hitler.
Which is exactly what Ford did. We'll get on to Ford in a minute because he brings him up, doesn't he?
Yeah. And again, he mischaracterizes Ford. So this is why Hitler was working with the industrialists, and he used the industrialists to build up the country. Look at all the infrastructure that was built. Look at the roads. Look at the Volkswagen Beetle that was created so that everyone could have a car. Look at all the housing that was built. The new towns that were created. Incredible industry that went on, and he needed funds for that. And by taking the funds from the industrialists, he didn't have to take them from the international bankers with usury on top. That's a big difference as well. Well, next up, he has a quote from Dieter Schwartz saying that Masonry is the opposite of National Socialism. And then he has a claim from the Masonic Grand Master who claims that National Socialist objectives are the same as the Freemasons. And he alleges that the truth is what the Masonic Grand Master was claiming, not what Dieter Schwartz is claiming. But of course the Masonic Grand Master is going to say that. He's trying to save his own skin. He's trying to...
Sorry, Sven, just while I remember. When I do the documentaries... I have to put in sources. Otherwise, I just get ripped apart. Right. This documentary doesn't need sources because it's never going to get banned off YouTube. And people who want to see it on YouTube won't ask for sources. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, he's just saying a lot of these things, just take my word for it type of thing, which is bunkum because I can't do that.
Well, and again, but you know, it's quite obvious to me that if one of these grandmasters, the Freemasons, is saying, oh, no, National Socialism is the same as Freemasonry, and the actual National Socialists are saying, well, it's the complete opposite, it's just the Masonic Grandmaster trying to save Freemasonry, isn't it? He's trying to say, oh, yeah, we're the same as you. Don't shut down our lodges. You know, don't lock up our Freemasons. Don't look into our information. We've just got the same objectives as you, which of course was
not really a secret society.
Yeah. It's got complete nonsense. And then he shows a list, and he thinks this is really sinister. This, and he's got the old Prussian lodges, which have got no Jews in them at all, and they are left alone, and the humanitarian lodges, the internationalist lodges that are all full of Jews, they are shut down.
Really?
He uses that to try and say that, oh, they weren't really against Freemasonry.
Well, the truth of the matter is that there were some Prussian lodges. Another older established lodges wanted to stay open and actually twisted to what they were doing to a Christian side. And even it would then shut them down. That is a fact.
Well, I would suggest that, you know, if they had loyalty to their country, there was no Jews in there, and they were investigated and shown to be loyal, then, you know, maybe they didn't go so harshly on them. I have read information written by the National Socialists about Freemasonry, and they claim that it was originally a noble German pursuit, and that the Jews infiltrated it and corrupted it. So that was what they were. That was the way they were coming at it, was that it needed to be cleaned up and removed of the Jewish influence, which is... Well, you know, that's in keeping with everything else they did, isn't it?
Well, can I just say, right, that Freemasonry was around a lot longer than what National Socialism was. It was out, you know, but he makes out like that Hitler invents it, you know what I mean? Hitler shut it down. The only reason it's all come back again is because Hitler lost the war and the Allies allowed it back into Europe, which is never discussed. And with all the occult videos up on YouTube of Hitler, there's not one, maybe mine, on Roosevelt. That's it. It's blatant.
There's also, the National Socialists, they didn't really work out the subversion that was coming from England. I mean, Dr. E. Michael Jones has done all the work showing that Freemasonry was sent over from England and the Jews that were involved in England at the time. And it was sent over to France and Germany to disrupt them, and that's where you got the French Revolution. But the works that I've seen, the National Socialist ones, sort of look at come at it as if Freemasonry was corrupted by the Jews, but it was corrupted originally. But you know, that still means they were against it. You know, they wanted to clean it up, the same as they wanted to clean up the church. They wanted to get the Jewish influence out of that. You know, if you take the Jewish influence out of things, then
they're not going to be. Place.
Yeah, they're not going to be. They're not going to be harmful, are they?
Right.
Well, next he makes a. I've heard this one before, and this is a strange one. It's a bit hard to work out exactly what he's saying, but it seems to be that there was this symbol, the forget-me-not flower, which the Freemasons used to say that they were Freemasons once the square and triangle was known to be, you know, was outlawed, as it were. So, but they still wanted to show that they were Freemasons, so they used the forget-me-not flower, and this badge that they had was made in a specific factory, and that was in the 20s, I believe it was, that this flower was made, something like that. So they were using that to hide their Masonic membership. Now, after Hitler had his Freemasonic purge and the war was on, they needed a badge to show that they were using this badge for rearmament, to show that they were supposed to be picking up the rearmaments up. And they used this badge. And he says, oh, well, that shows that the National Socialists were really Freemasons because they were using this forget-me-not flower. But the point is, this badge was made by that same factory. So that shows that there was a stock of this badge at that factory, and they thought, well, we'll use this instead of bothering to create a new one to identify people. We will use this. And obviously, that also you might get that also might help to identify Freemasons, because they will try and identify themselves to the people that are wearing these badges, and then they'll be identified as Masons. So that doesn't show that there's any link at all between the National Socialists and the Freemasons. That's just
But anybody not knowing all this background would fall for his spiel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just blatant.
Well, you have to look at these things. And then again, then he says that the Prussian lodges proclaimed support for Hitler. Well, that's clearly so that they could try and avoid retribution, the same as the Grand Master saying that Freemasonry was the same as National Socialism.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, this is, you know, it's quite logical that this is what the lodges would do. And next he moves on to who was funding Hitler. And he's got Anthony Sutton's work there. And he says, oh, yeah. Henry Ford helped to fund Adolf Hitler, and Henry Ford was a Freemason. Shock, horror. And then he tells us that Adolf Hitler was very much enamored by Henry Ford, and he's quoted as saying, Henry Ford is my inspiration. And the maker of the video then infers that because Henry Ford was Adolf Hitler's inspiration, that really means that Freemasonry was Adolf Hitler's inspiration, which is, again, it's just complete bunkum. I mean, Henry Ford was an industrialist. What he did for the working classes in America was phenomenal. That's what was inspirational about him. That's what Adolf Hitler wanted to do. That's why he wanted to do the same. He didn't want to become a Freemason. You know, he wanted to get all his people back to work. He wanted to give them all a car. He wanted to give them all a house. He wanted to give them all better you know, better working conditions. That was the inspirational bit.
Yeah, well, what he forgets to mention, I mean, it's true. On his birthday, Ford used to give Hitler $50,000 every year, and he also funded, you know, we money as well. Henry Ford was a Freemason. He was a 33-degree Freemason. What a 33-degree Freemason is it's not that he goes to the lodges or anything like that. It's just kind of it's an award, if you like. So at that time of no internet, you know, anyone getting a 33-degree Freemason is not necessarily understanding of what Freemasonry really is. It's just an award. I think Truman got it after he bombed Japan. Anyway, so it doesn't necessarily mean that he's influenced by Jews. In fact, in his case, he's the opposite, because he spends a fortune trying to publicize the protocols and the Jewish threat. But he leaves all this out of this documentary. So, in fact, he's an anti-Semite in many people's eyes. You know, he's not a supporter of the Jews and the Jewish hidden Talmudic hand in Freemasonry, for a fact.
Well, he set up the Dearborn Independent, which was a newspaper, to expose the Jews. And he wrote yes. The International Jew. He compended all these articles together. I mean, he was a fierce defender of basically of America, of Americans against the Jews. He exposed
communism of the Jews, yeah.
Yeah, exposed everything that, that they were doing. And we have to remember that Freemasonry, you know, it facilitates conspirators and it facilitates crime and the New World Order, but it doesn't mean that everybody that's involved in it does. You've still got a lot of good people. Yeah. If you're a businessman, in order to be able to do business, you have to have these connections. And the best way to get those connections is through Freemasonry. And that's how most people get involved in it, because they start doing well in their business and then they get invited to join the Freemasons. And they know, if I join the Freemasons, I'll have all these connections.
I don't believe in it because it leaves people not in the fraternity out on a limb. You know, to me, that's not right. You know, it should be abolished. But that is that's right. You know, it is a fraternity under that guise for businessmen. And also they use, you know, they say they give money to charities, to hospitals, etc. Shiners do it all the time. But it's really just a cover.
Yeah, that's a big part of it as well. They claim to be a charitable institution, looks after orphans and widows and all the rest of it, and they're just there for the benefit of people, to be good to people. And, you know, that's why a lot of people join them. But it gets misused. Again, this is why the National Socialists wanted to remove the Jewish influence from it, because they saw it as it could have been redeemed if they removed the Jews from it. You know, that was their way of looking at it. And moving on, the next bit that he gets into is Hjalmar Schacht. Now, this is interesting because he's really being deceitful here and dishonest. He talks about Hjalmar Schacht, and he was a Freemason. Yeah. And he says Hjalmar Schacht was responsible for all of Adolf Hitler's economic policy. Hjalmar Schacht admits that Freemasonry runs in families. And then he has this shock bit where he says all the Young Turks were Freemasons and the Young Turks were responsible for the Armenian genocide. Well, the Young Turks were all Jews. And then he talks about how Hjalmar Schacht founded the Turk Society and he founded the Bank for International Settlements. And he makes all these links between Hjalmar Schacht and the National Socialists, which aren't actually there. And if you, I mean, again, you can look this up on Wikipedia. This isn't conspiratorial information or hidden information. This is what Wikipedia says about Hjalmar Schacht. He served as the currency commissioner and president of the Reichsbank under the Weimar Republic, not under Adolf Hitler. He was never a member of the Nazi Party, but served in Adolf Hitler's government as president of the National Bank from 1933 to 1939. And became Minister of Economics August 34 to November 1937. So he was just the president of the National Bank. And his views led Schacht to clash with Hitler and most notably with Hermann Göring. He was dismissed as president of the Reichsbank in January 1939. He remained as a minister without portfolio and received the same salary until he was fully dismissed from the government in January 1943. In 1944, Schacht was arrested by the Gestapo after the assassination attempt on Hitler July 20th, 1944, because he allegedly had contact with the assassins. And then we find that Hjalmar Schacht, surprisingly, gets led off at Nuremberg.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
How can they link him with National Socialism? He set up the Bank for International Settlements. It seems quite obvious to me that they kept him on with his salary. Because that's what they did. You know, they did this to some of the Jews as well, didn't they, that were in government. They said,
honourable thing, isn't it?
You will have to leave, but we will continue to pay your pension because we are honourable. The real influence on Adolf Hitler's economic policy was Gottfried Feder, who exposed usury and exposed the fact that it was compound interest that had made all this money for the Jews, and he tried to use his ideas as much as possible, but he had to temper that with the ideas of the industrialists. You know, he had to please both sides, as it were. So, Gottfried Feder had an important role up to about 1939, and then he was put on doing something else because you had to compromise between the somebody who didn't want usury at all, anywhere, and the industrialists who were wanting to make profit. Yeah. So he had to please both of them. But this Helmar Schacht, who set up the Bank for International Settlements, he didn't have any influence on Adolf Hitler. He clashed with Adolf Hitler, and he was responsible for the bank under the Weimar Republic.
People give him credit for the economic miracles, a way out of, obviously blatant. It was Hitler's regime what caused the economic miracle, but they say he was a genius behind it. Can I just say again, Mike, before I forget, at some point in the documentary, I'm going to prove, and it's a fact, that the Russians found heaps and heaps of memorabilia and information which the Germans had collected from the Masonic lodges, with information what the governments were up to in Europe, etc. And he took it all back to the Soviet Union, big train load. It's in the archives now. And I believe that was one of the reasons that he turned maverick. I think he found out some stuff that he wasn't supposed to find out, and consequently he did his little blitz on the Jews, and the Jews consequently had to silence him. But for a couple of years he was a bit of a maverick, and I think that's one of the reasons.
Sorry, I missed that bit exactly where you were saying who that was the maverick, Dennis.
Stalin.
Oh, why they went after Stalin. Yeah, well, this Schacht guy, he really didn't have that much to do with things. How could they say that he was responsible for the economic miracle when he was president of the Reichsbank under the Weimar Republic? Yeah. And up until, what was it, 1939? So when was the economic miracle? I thought it was around that time, 1939.
Well, no, I mean, it took him, three years to get 6 million back to work. It was always in motion from the day he went into office, Hitler.
And if he's the president of the National Bank, he's not responsible for, the policy of getting people back to work. He's just responsible for creating the currency.
Well, let's face it, we're probably the best man for the job due to his experience. But eventually, he didn't see eye to eye and got rid of him.
Well, they have to keep people on that, know what they're doing with banking. And unfortunately,
most of them are church, don't they?
Yeah, most of them are Freemasons and Jews. And this is a problem that Donald Trump has. If he wants to clean up the government over there in America, well, who is he going to replace these people with? I mean, everybody that's involved in banking is corrupted in some way or another. And you're not going to find anyone that isn't. That's a serious problem nowadays. Well, that's as far as he goes in that video. I believe it's a part one of a series, but it just shows you how dishonest he's being with the information. So
he accuses my documentary of being Nazi propaganda, that has slipped a switch, and now instead of the Nazis being the bad guys, the communists are the bad guys. Well, if he put half an hour of research into what the communists did and the British government knew they were going to do even before they got into Europe, then, it just proves an idiot what he is.
The communists have always been the bad guys, haven't they?
That's what I mean. They've killed more than anybody in history in a shortest amount of time.
This guy is... do you know what... nationality he is, Dennis?
I don't, but I could think of a name for him.
I'm wondering if he's German, because, the Germans have been really, really brainwashed, and they get some of them get really upset when they hear this stuff, don't they? And they freak out, and maybe this guy is German and he's just desperately clutching at straws because, he doesn't want to believe the truth. Because people don't want to believe the truth. It's very hard for some people to accept.
I mean, to say that your grandparents or, relatives died in a war for communism, is hard for them to accept.
Yeah, it makes them, feel as if everything they did was in vain. This is why people find it hard to accept nationalism, when they've spent 20 or 30 years supposedly fighting against anti-racism, and they find out that, they've been on the wrong side all this time. They'd rather not know than...
Well, this is it. They'd rather put their head in the sand and hope it all goes away. But unfortunately, the state of how all this works is eventually, you know, when they say first the Nazis come for the Jews, then they come for the Catholics, then they come for the Gypsies, in actual fact, it's reversed again. Once they get rid of the white race, they will then go for another race, and then they'll go for another race, because that's what they are.
Well, he's got another video here as well, which he's linked to. And but both these videos are supposed to completely debunk all your work, Dennis. And anybody that sees these is you're supposed to suddenly disbelieve everything that, that you've put up there with all your references. Well, his next one is called Aryan Sun, Nazism and Freemasonry. And again, it makes similar allegations. Like before, it was saying that Blavatsky was the one that invented the term Aryan. Well, he claims that the swastika, because it's used by Freemasons, it must be a Freemasonic symbol. But even the cross is used by the Freemasons. And the swastika has always been used by every society to show purity. It's a religious symbol. So this is why the Freemasons use it. This is why Blavatsky used it. And he says that its association with the word Aryan is brand new. And when he says that, he's actually showing a picture of the swastika with, I think it's Ahura Mazda, the Zoroastrian god, the Persian god. And the fact that it's, and that is, you know, Persian, Aryan, they're from Iran. And that's a 2,000, 3,000 year old picture there with the swastika. And his voiceover is saying that the swastika's association with the Aryan is new. So the very pictures that he's showing in his video completely contradict with what his voiceover is.
Well, I wonder what he says to the picture of the Bishop of Coventry, who is laid, you know, he's got a statue on top of him on his tomb with his bishop's fish hat with surrounded by swastikas. What's his excuse then?
Well, this is the thing. The church uses it. So are you going to say that the swastika is exclusively used
by
the church?
Which is where they got it from.
Yeah. You can't. It's used by all different societies. The thing with the swastika is that it was white people that used it. That's why it's found all around the world, because white people have been all around the world. And it was a symbol that we used that was linked with us. And as was said in the other video, what we said earlier about the Aryan, it's linked with that, and that's what this picture shows. I think, Aryan people's god with a swastika.
DNA thing with the Jews. If you see a swastika, there's something about a swastika they do not like, which is the reason they banned it. You know, they tried to ban it in India even at one point. They look at that and they break out in a sweat.
Well, it's like a crucifix to a vampire. Yeah, it's like a crucifix to a vampire, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Swastika to the Jews. Well, then he shows some pictures. He shows a carnival, as if that's something, you know, really sinister. And they do
that.
Well,
they always show that. Yeah, it's kind of they're marching through. You know, it's like a celebration of the culture from way back. But they always use that as an occult thing. They've always done it. So don't have to get my back up.
Well, it's like when people claim that the alphabet is somehow occult because they used runes. This was occult. No, it wasn't. It was our old alphabet. Every alphabet has esoteric meaning to it or more meaning than one. I mean, if you look at the Latin alphabet, it means numbers as well. You know, if you have the letter I is one, the letter V is five, IV is four. So, you know, letters always have double meanings to them. And since, because letters came originally from pictographs or drawings as well, they also have the connotations of, you know, of what they actually look like. So you got the letter S and it looks like a snake. And it makes the S sound. So there's meanings to all of our letters. It's not unique to runes. It doesn't mean that runes are particularly any more or less occult than any of our other alphabets. I mean, alphabets are really important things. You look at Christianity. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Word, the Logos. You know, just the fact that we can speak is incredibly important. And has so, of course, there's a lot of significance to the alphabet. It doesn't mean that it's occult. And it doesn't mean just because they're looking back into their pre-Christian history that they're a bunch of pagans.
Yeah, I know. But they don't half hammer that one.
Well, his main point with this video, Aryan Sun, Nazism and Freemasonry, is about the Thule Society. And we've spoken a bit about this before, but we've never really gone that deeply into it. But the Thule Society was not a Masonic lodge at all. And this guy tries to infer that the Thule Society was a Masonic lodge. It was all the Thule Society's ideas that the National Socialists came up with.
Yeah.
And they were controlling things. And it's just nonsense. And again, all you have to do is look at Wikipedia to disprove it. And the main guy that does research in this area is Nicholas Goodrick Clark, and he's not a National Socialist. And this is what he says. He contends that Hans Frank and Rudolf Hess were actually Thule members, but other leading Nazis had only ever been invited to speak at Thule meetings, or they were entirely unconnected with it. And according to Johann Hering, there is no evidence that Hitler ever attended the Thule Society. And the Thule Society...
He got rid of it. When he took over the leadership of the National Social Party, when he only had 10 men and a dog at the bar, he got rid of it. Within 2 minutes, it had gone. He said in his speeches, he doesn't want that kind of stuff. That is National Socialism.
Well, he says that later on. The Thule Society itself, it was originally a German study group headed by Walter Nauhaus, a wounded World War I veteran turned art student from Berlin. And a primary focus of the Thule Society was concerning the origins of the Aryan race. So they were looking to see where Germans came from. In 1917, people who wanted to join the Germanic order, out of which the Thule Society developed in 1918, had to sign a special blood declaration of faith concerning their lineage. And the signer hereby swears to the best of his knowledge and belief that no Jewish or coloured blood flows in either his or in his wife's veins, and that among their ancestors are no members of the coloured races. Sounds very Freemasonic to me.
Sounds very KKK.
Nothing to do with Freemasonry. Nothing to do with Freemasonry. It's the opposite of it, isn't it? I mean, they're trying to find the origins of the German people, and it's racially based. And no Jews. No Jews at all. So it's the opposite of Freemasonry. And Thule itself was a land located by Greco-Roman geographers in the furthest north. It's often displayed as Iceland. And the Latin term Ultima Thule is also mentioned by the Roman poet Virgil in his pastoral poems called the Georgics. Thule originally was probably the name for Scandinavia, although Virgil simply uses it as a proverbial expression for the edge of the known world. And his mention should not be taken as a substantial reference to Scandinavia. The Thule Society identified Ultima Thule as a lost ancient landmass in the extreme north near Greenland or Iceland, said by Nazi mystics to be the capital of ancient Hyperborea. So, I mean, this really has nothing to do with communism, nothing to do with Jews, nothing to do with Freemasonry. I mean, it's not even really occult when you think about it. I mean, they're just trying to